raised rowdy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Degenerate Small Ages, welcome to the podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our guest this week, Lombardi. Why don't you guys intro yourself? Of course, I know you guys both, but that way, if they're just listening by audio, they'll know who's who.
Yes, I'm Seth Renfro. I'm a Leo. I love long walks on the beach and doing redneck shit, so.
Yeah.
True.
Sweet. Yeah, my name is Mike Scott. I guess I'm a Scorpio.
I guess you are.
And
such a Scorpio thing to say.
Such a Scorpio thing. the Scorpio aloofness.
I was just going up the Leo thing. Well, it's this guy's birthday here in, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Happy birthday, brother.
I'll say happy belated birthday because this pod won't come out by then.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
You'll be 1 year older.
I will be 1 year older when this drops.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you guys are in a rock band called Lombardi. What do y'all play? Tell the folks out there on the internet.
I play bass and in the studio do some guitar work, sing a little bit here and there. Yeah,
and I play guitar and sing.
Hell yeah.
Mike is our lead vocalist.
Yes. Yeah, he makes all the best words come out of his mouth.
All the best. He has all the best words.
I try.
I will say this about you guys. I think you are the best performing band that I've seen in town, period. Guys, in terms of like... people that have not gotten like a legitimate record deal yet. It's funny. I remember when you guys played our full band showcase, we had our buddies from Fox and Bead who kick ass, by the way.
Oh yeah, love those guys.
Yeah.
And they were there and they like got off stage and they were like, yeah, because they did great.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watched you guys play and they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Your live performance is incredible.
Thank you.
If you guys listening have not got a chance to see these guys, you have to make it out to a show.
How would you describe it?
It's just pure energy. The night you guys played for us, you were in like hospital gowns.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's like, you can't look away.
Is it because the asses were out in the gowns?
That's right.
I don't think so, but it's hard to say.
That show was in January, so I think we would have gone asses out. Yeah. But
it was a little chilly.
It was cold, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had pants on.
Yeah. But it was super, super electric. I remember our buddy Josh Madden that runs like Madden Co. was there as well, and he was like, what's going on, you know?
Yes.
The live show. I think the first time I saw you guys was at Brooklyn Bowl when you did that. I think it was like all local bands, maybe.
Yeah, Music City Mosh Club.
Yeah, yeah, it was sick, and I mean everyone kicked butt there, but like your guys' set really stood out to me, and I've known Seth for a long time, so it was cool to see it, but just the energy of the show, and the fans feel it, and I'm a fan, so
thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
How did y'all two meet?
He was with Kyle Daniel for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So we met Kyle and you, I think at the exact same time.
Usually. I mean, back in those days, we were out doing stuff together.
Yep.
If not every night, it was every other night, just going out and doing the networking thing. So.
Yep. And that's when Kyle's like EP dropped and was, I mean, well, amazing EP, by the way, of course. But so we became buddies since then, and... You know, Cal's like a dad and stuff now, so we don't see him as much. But
yeah, he actually just had his second baby yesterday.
So awesome.
And I can say that because this is going to come out way later.
Yeah.
He already have announced it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's doing the dad life. But yeah, man, thank you so much for the kind words. I mean,
of course.
I honestly think that's one thing that we try to do to maybe not even set ourselves apart, but just to reclaim the joy that is performing, because I feel like, you know, people take it very seriously. People are thinking about it methodically. They've got coaches telling them how to do this and do that, and we need to cross a center stage and go back, and that's all cool. Like I'm not downing that at all, but I think it's almost a reclamation of joy that this project is, and that's why we wear the silly matching outfits. Just that's kind of a way to just thumb our nose at people that take it incredibly seriously. Like, you know, this is a job, this is a career that I have to blah 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 blah. We're like, yeah, man, we're just going to wear hospital gowns and people are not going to know what is going on until we're done. And then they're going to get it.
Yeah. So. I love it. And that joy that you're talking about, you can tell when a band is going through the motions, or you can tell when a band is like not.
And you can tell when a band learned the songs three days prior.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely that too. You know?
Been there.
Again, like no, like I'm a gun for hire still. So, mm-hmm. You know, and there's no shade in that at all. I think that's what makes the city so beautiful is, you know, you can play with so many people, some people that you've never met, and you have that cool opportunity for connection, preparing for that show or even just hopping up and jamming with people and stuff. So no shade there, but I do think that you can tell the difference between people that have been doing it together for a while and people that are just kind of going through the motions.
I agree with that too. And I think like some of the things you'll see, and I mean, is cohesiveness in execution. So some might call that choreography, but most of that, I feel like in my head, the choreography happens as you play more shows together. You're like, oh, they're doing this, I'm going to do this. And like you guys kind of like riff off each other and figure out what works.
Absolutely. It's like improv.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, this is the bit we're doing. All right. I'm in the bit.
Yeah.
I can't leave the bit. Yeah. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's great. How did you guys meet?
Man, it was through Jonathan, I believe, who is our other guitar player, vocalist, songwriter, Jonathan Plevyak. I was writing with him a lot for he had like an alt rock sort of thing that he was doing when he first moved to town. And I can't even really remember. I just feel like once I met Mike and met John, it was like these are dudes that I've known my entire life. And it just kind of started from there. And when they started Lombardi, I was immensely jealous and was really, really happy that I had an opportunity to come in and sit in and play bass and then now be a full-time member. But
yeah, actually, remember the first time I think we met was, I think you came over to the Lombardi house. That's kind of where it all started. We were all living in the same house, but you came over, I think, with Kyle, I believe, and y'all shot that. It was like up in our loft. It was like a little concert series thing.
Yep.
I remember you came over for that and y'all did some songs. I think that was the first time you and I met.
I think so.
But that might have, that was, I think, 2020.
That was 2020.
Like summer of 2020.
COVID vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Honestly, it's funny. COVID is what got me to Nashville. And I feel like it was also a cheat code for me coming to Nashville because so many people that were often on the road or we're often just doing so many other things, we're kind of around more. So
right.
I feel like I got to meet more people than I would have moving any other time to Nashville. I feel like in some ways there's connections that were made or, you know, friendships that were made during that might not have, of course, ever existed otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lombardi was kind of born out of COVID just being locked down. No one had a job. So we were all just like, we had nothing to do but just, you know, hang out every night and just jam.
Yeah.
Do you guys have jobs now?
Yes. Unfortunately, we do have jobs now. Getting off the road because of COVID, I started working at venues. Going from touring, I think, you know, the last couple of years I was with Kyle, we were doing 150, 180 days a year, you know. So we were road dogging it, you know. And actually, we were in Europe when the shutdown happened with you guys.
Yep, I remember.
For C2C, and we were about to do O2 with Eric Church, and that was going to be our big, like, we've been working for years for this. This is the swan song. We went out and spent, like, $800, you know, on dinner the night before, and then it was, like, a little shake, shake, shake in the morning, like, hey, man, we've got 24 hours to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, like, a weird, you know, I don't know, timeline shift or something, but I think COVID was a cool period for us to all narrow back in what it is that we wanted to do moving forward out of it. And working at venues and stuff has been really cool. Right now I work at the Pinnacle downtown.
So sick.
Great venue.
The new 4500 cap. Yeah,
are you going to work the 311 show?
I'm going to be at the 311 show.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to be working that one.
I meant to text you about that. We should probably go to that.
Yeah, we should.
Well, I know a guy. So...
Yeah, I've haven't been to the venue yet, but everyone says it's so amazing. I've turned down Kurt, I think, twice on two shows I should not have turned down, but we had events.
Yeah,
so it's tough for me to skip my own events, you know.
Yeah, it's it's wild. It's a really beautiful room that was well thought out. They're booking it, you know, correctly.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. Are you kidding me? In a 4,500 cap room?
I'm begging for tickets to that.
Yeah. I'm begging for tickets to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like NDAs involved when they were booking that show. So,
what are the prices at for that right now?
It's over $1,000 for sure. And I think some of them are in the potential five digits. So,
so wild.
That's secondary market, though, I'm sure, right?
Secondary market.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. All right, so let's dive back into Lombardi for a second.
Yes.
I'm very curious because I grew up listening to rock, and when I listen to your guys' music, I hear, like, all the shit I listened to growing up. I hear, like, you know, like Rage Against the Machine and stuff like that. What is the rock scene like now? Like, I'm not really – I do the country thing, so I'm not, like, into the rock scene like I used to be when I was in rock bands.
It's percolating, man. It's I think it's the next thing. I think we're going to see a nice rock boom happening.
Is Nashville like a hub for that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, for example, I was approached by a couple guys in the industry that are trying to put together a locally based, locally like sourced rock festival at, you know, middle of the ground venue size wise. And they're like, hey, can you think of some bands that we could potentially that are Nashville based that we could potentially have on the thing? And by the time I had come to, you know, from my note, I had already written about 150 bands down that are just Nashville based that I think have legs and can probably run. And out of those 150, I would say five or six of them in the next couple of years, you're going to know who they are. Yeah. So it's
badass.
It's very dense. It's very diverse. And I think in juxtaposition to the country scene here, there's a lot of built-in infrastructure for country, right? If I move here, you know, from Michigan, and I'm like, I want to be a songwriter. 5 days a week, at least, if not 7 days a week, I know exactly where to go.
Yep.
I'm going to go to Whiskey Jam. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go to your guys' thing. I'm going to go to Honky Tonk Tuesday. That infrastructure has already existed here for years. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, the rock scene is trying to find that same infrastructure, that same mingling, so it's not so clicky. It's not so, oh, these are the guys that run around with these guys. These are the guys that run around with these guys. So I think right now there's a lot of mixing and mingling happening.
Who are some other bands that are like y'all's homies? If you're like, I'm booking a show, who are you calling to open for? Or who's throwing you on an opening slot?
East Monroe, those guys. Yep. Those guys are incredible. Gloom Girl MFG has been some of our good friends. Year Before.
Yep.
They're our label mates right now.
So are you guys doing like any networking? Cause like thematically, like in your music, it's like, there's a lot of country shit, like redneck shit, like you talked about.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like Fox and Veed and some of the bands that like Nick fucks with so hard. It's like, is there sort of commingling that way?
Yeah, I still talk to the Fox and Feed guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah, same here. Yeah, we're all buddies.
Yeah, they came through. They came through Pinnacle actually. They opened for Gavin Adcock.
Yep.
And I was their stage manager that day, so I was like, "Da bros, what's going on?" So I mean, I'm still talking to those guys about doing, you know, having them come here for a show and us go to North Carolina for a show.
I think that would kick ass.
That would be fucking sick.
You know? Definitely a lot of networking. I started this showcase called the Music City Mosh Club that I do once a quarter.
Do you guys have merch?
I do have merch.
Oh, yeah.
I need a black t-shirt that just says Music City Mosh Club on it with whatever your logo is.
Yep, I'll send it to you. It's a skeleton with a cowboy hat smoking a joint. So I will...
done.
I will send it to you. Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of my way of giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I turned 34 and I've been here 10 years. And at this point, it's not about making it for me anymore, because I get to be in music every day, whatever form that is, whether it's behind the scenes putting a show together or, you know, using this showcase to put bands together that I think should meet and create. And that's I just want to leave the place better than I found it. And that's kind of the goal right now, I think, for us, is we're very community based, trying to put people together, bring people in to collaborate. So that's really kind of the big focus coming out into this album cycle, is trying to focus on what's the Nashville sound, because there's a whole spectrum of rock bands here that all I would consider rock bands. So it's like, what's the Nashville sound? What's the regional sound coming out of Nashville? We've been tricked into thinking that we need to think globally so quickly with social media and stuff. And it's like, what's the regional sound?
Have a regional sound.
Right. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, think about hip hop in the 90s, man.
Absolutely. Think about grunge
East Coast,
rock.
West Coast.
Exactly. Yeah. They had different sounds and they were both... They were both groundbreaking in their own ways, and I think that we've lost a little bit of that. You know?
You have, because if you think about a band coming up and you're going to other rock shows in your region, you're seeing what's happening there, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, that's sick. Or like, what if I took a little bit of that and put it with this, you know?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's how you get a scene that, like, for example, Seattle, which was very diverse. It was like the end of hair metal. You could hear that happening.
Yeah.
And then you hear like the grungy overtones starting. And then it was like mashups of that. You heard bands that almost sounded like hair metal turn into grunge rock. But it got to like kind of incubate itself before the masses got a hold of it. Mm-hmm. Now with social media, the masses should have a hold of everything, you know, yeah. right away.
Yeah.
And it gets to kind of do that. Also, you can hear a band from California right now as easy as you can hear another band from Nashville, mm-hmm. unless you build a scene.
Right.
Unless you build a place for these people to live where they can go and meet each other and hear each other and say, oh, let's take a bit of that
yeah.
and mix it in with our stuff.
And, yeah. and it could even be one of those scenarios where it's like, oh, well, this band is coming to an end. So is this band. But I saw these guys. I'd really like to start something. Then yep. there's a birth of a new project. There's a birth of a new song. There's a birth of a new thing. Yep. So to be even just a small part of something like that happening, I think is important.
I agree.
Where are rock bands hanging out? What's the spot in town? You know, like obviously you talk about like Nick's Riders Round or Whiskey Jam. It's like if I want to go hear some music, I can just go to one of these events any week. Is there like a bar, a spot, a monthly or weekly event where people can go hear local bands?
Yeah. Five Spot has a great thing called Alt Adjacent that they do. I think it's the first or second Friday of the month, and it's all alternative rock bands. Underdog has a great blues rock scene if you're into that. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're just trying to run into people, just go to Duke's, man. Go to Duke's after 10 p.m., and you're going to run into everybody, you know? So I... You know, Mosh Club I do at Eastside Bowl at the 58. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you think of any other places?
I was going to say, I feel like you know that scene well. And
yeah, I'm just out here, you know.
Yeah, that's what it's about, though.
Perusing, so.
Yeah. I mean, every city has a music scene, but the Nashville one's so vibrant. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people. There's so many resources here. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the rock world, if you want to get a publishing deal, you can get it here, right? Like, if you're looking for a manager... There's not just country managers here. There's managers here.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're taking on rock acts all the time.
A lot of the emo and pop punk bands that we grew up with on the Tony Hawk, you know, soundtracks, those guys are all based here.
Yeah.
Yellow Card, Paramore.
I just played with Good Charlotte like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, Limp Bizkit, Fred's in the house. There you go. He's down in Tennessee now.
Come on.
Everyone's coming to Tennessee, yeah.
It's crazy.
Get him on the pod, dude.
Yeah. Speak it into existence.
Please. Yes, we're going to manifest that. Yeah.
We could get that if we all dressed as goblins. Then we could.
Done.
We could have Fred on.
We should have done that today. I usually
dress like a goblin, so I'm here for it.
Have you ever seen that podcast where it's like a guy that's like dressed as a goblin? No.
Yes. Wow. It's so I saw that band open for Gwar when I was working at Brooklyn Bowl. And you want to talk about...
Was that before the singer died or no?
This was after the OG singer died and they had another cat come in and do it, which he's incredible. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Gwar before, you should definitely go. Well, if you haven't seen Gwar and you have a good constitution and you can handle a joke and you can handle, you know, the most disgusting prosthetics. And,
not a safe space.
Yeah, it's definitely not a safe space, but it is really entertaining.
Yeah. Was that one of the shows where you had to like cover the whole Brooklyn Bowl venue in like plastic?
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole
They squirt like alien cum like on the Pope or
they
something.
They do, and there's like diarrhea that they have someone bend over. I think the last time they had Donald Trump bend over and just shit all over the whole first row.
Dude, like, that's great.
It's insane.
Is it real feces and stuff, or are they made?
Yes.
Is it like?
Yes.
No, it's not.
No. They have a guy. They have a blood guy, which was a fun thing. I got to meet their blood guy, who's been their blood guy for 35 years or something like that. And he has this special mixture, and he has it all in like compressed air, and damn, he has a whole system.
Sprays it all out.
It's, I need they a really blood have guy. It down to a pat. Like blood it's guy. It's really cool. So
I saw Gwar at a venue in Pittsburgh, and man, I didn't know what I was getting into when I went there. I knew Gwar's music, and I knew their like music videos, but I didn't know what I was getting into there. But boy, was I excited when it happened!
What's the music video where like the guy dunks on Jesus It's like Meat Sandwich or something like that. It's like one of the name of the songs.
That's such a great song name.
Yeah. They're great.
But I agree with you about the rock scene. Like, I think we're seeing it bubble up in country-adjacent music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the Red Dirt scene leaned rock maybe slightly before the rest of country music did.
Yeah.
But now, like, you're seeing guys like Austin Snell crossover.
Cody Parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you're seeing producers like Bayless that came from, like, the Jelly Roll kind of camp leaning in, doing
rock. We were already
rock.
Seeing that crossover with Jay Joyce.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. So it's super cool to get to see that happen. And I remember I worked at Big Loud for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And they had Big Loud Rock. And I hadn't been to rock shows in a while. You know, I was just going to country shows because mm-hmm. I was like, what we do for work, kind of.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you want to go to these rock shows? And I was like, I mean, yeah. And then I went and I'm like, this is scratching a whole different itch.
Yeah, man.
That mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was itchy for, you know. Yeah. Still.
Absolutely. And Big Loud's great. A great example of people. They have a... They're working with one of the Schultz brothers from Cage right now mm-hmm. on a smaller rock label here called Parallel Vision. And they're starting mm-hmm. to do another showcase, which is, I think they're doing it like once a month at Hubba Hubba Tiki Tonk
yep.
on the east side, which is next to
No UPS
Quarter.
Store?
Yep, UPS yeah. store, No Quarter.
I've been there before. But so, there's no, it's not big enough store? For a, yeah.
It
both.
Is.
But it's not, is it big enough for a stage?
It is nuts to butts in there. I mean, that's they great, are though. Like, they have people... just standing on the edge of their karaoke stage. And yeah, I saw like three or four like big as in like loud and a lot of people rock bands the first time I went. So I mean,
sick.
And it was packed to the gills. I mean, there were people out in the parking lot, there were people in the back, there were people next door at No Quarter just hanging out waiting to be able to get cycle in. So I mean, sick. It's an exciting time to be in Nashville in general. But it's a really exciting time to be a rock band in Nashville because I think that that's going to be the next big wave here.
I agree. It's been leaning that way for a few years now, and it just keeps like bubbling bigger and bigger bubbles,
mm-hmm.
you know. And all it's going to take is one of those bubbles
yeah.
to pop and get some national exposure, and then everything around it.
And it's so yeah. cool to see the Cage guys reinvesting into the scene, looking for the next thing too, you know,
yeah.
whether they're producing it or they're just putting people on a showcase, giving yeah. them a platform. You know, you love to see an act like that that's had so much success and made such a splash in the zeitgeist mm-hmm. that you know, they're here doing the thing.
I love it.
And you know, hats off to those guys.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. And it's like, you think about, you know, the music genres and just the ebbs and flows, right? And country is definitely on the swing up right now.
Yeah.
You can tell when Beyonce yeah. is making a record in your genre that you're
absolutely.
Doing something that's this mainstream.
Even just
you know
the,
what I mean?
Even just artists in, you know, in different genres that are cosplaying the look with
yeah.
the fringe and the,
yep.
the Canadian tuxedos and shit, you yep. know, like it's cool to be country right now for
yeah.
sure.
And then you're seeing that heavy crossover with country and other genres. Of course, like Big X, you're seeing do this whole country project. He just dropped that song with Ella, has a song with Bailey. Like, that's popping. But the rock stuff, I think, is even bigger than the rap crossover. You know, we've had rap crossover, Nelly and guys like that for a long time. But the rock crossover is so strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even like another indie like Riser House is starting to do rock stuff. You know, like they're having like a branch of rock music as well. So it's just like you're seeing these Nashville-based companies that are no longer just looking for country acts. They're looking for marketable acts that are mm-hmm. working. And that's a lot of that's starting to bubble up in the rock world, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, we're hoping to be one of those bubbles.
So. Yeah.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
And well, so you guys have a new project coming out?
Yeah.
We yeah. do indeed.
Yeah, you want? I've been talking a while. You can say something now.
Oh yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We recorded a full length album back in May, and we are releasing the first single from that project in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Motorbike.
August 22nd.
Two weeks from today. Well, I guess when this comes out, it might be out.
Yeah, or it'll just be that week.
Or it'll be that week. I'm not sure, but.
So
yeah.
we can probably drop this like right after this comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah, the single's called Motorbike.
Yeah.
So yeah, it may or may not be out right now. Go check it out.
I love the song, and it seems multi faceted in the rock world. Can you guys talk about the song and like elements that we could hear in it, or you know, inspiration or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean that's one that Seth kind of brought to the table. If you want to,
it was one of those songs where, I feel like one of the things I really appreciate about Americana songwriting is the storytelling and the characters. And Motorbike is just about, you know, that guy that is at every single happy hour at every single East Nashville dive bar all week long. This is about that guy that rides. He's maybe he's got his license suspended or something. So he's got this, you know, 250cc motorbike that he's taking from happy hour to happy hour, just being a piece of shit, you know. And it's just about killing time, like being bored on the East Side amongst the hipster garbage like me. And you know, I just think that it's like a love story to neighborhoods like that that are just in between, you know, being completely gentrified and priced out and being a little too unsafe to live in. So it's, you know, just a story about that and just bar hopping. And I think that you can tell stories like that without it having to be so serious or heavy. And it's just, you know, that's a time and a place. I just came home and I ripped a bong and I was like, I like this little riff, this little like Zeppelin-y sound riff. I'm just going to do like a Beastie Boys thing over top of it and see what the boys think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sick.
And we talked earlier before we started recording the pod, you were saying like writing wise, you guys use some like unconventional methods to get to like the finish line.
Yeah, this time around we used a lot of visuals.
It's like taking mushrooms or like.
Well, that too. I mean, we certainly did that in the studio a little bit. You know, I think it's all helpful. If you have a purpose in mind, you should definitely dabble. But mushrooms aside, I mean, I would have Mikey come over and we would be like, all right, well, what are we gonna write today? You know, I've got this little riff thing. Cool. Let me find a visual. We'd go on YouTube, and we wrote a song that's kind of a NASCAR-inspired song. And we put on an old NASCAR race, throw it on mute, plug in. All right, what's this sound like? What's the soundtrack to this?
Yeah.
You know, we've did that a few times with some old skateboard or surf videos, just old footage, you know, of New York or whatever that we were pining over at the time. Because I've been really diving into Wu-Tang and to Beastie Boys and just that whole 90s hip hop scene in New York. So, you know, we're throwing on these visuals and throw it on mute. What's this sound like?
Yeah.
And are you guys doing this like with electric guitars, or are you doing this with acoustic guitars, or
a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this time around, at least one of us was on electric.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get that feel of like, what's this riff going to sound like? What's this fuzz going to sound like here? You know, to get a little more sense. And to dive into it a little bit more in your head. Some of the songs I was just, I think like two or three of the songs I brought to the table, and you know, people were adding things here and there on top of it, but it was just me and some mood lights, some mushrooms on some peanut butter toast, and a bong.
Stomach, okay.
Yeah. So it's, you never know when creativity is going to strike you. And I think that when you have things that are going to help that iron stay hot, then you strike.
Yeah. You know, so. I know like when I was in a rock band, we would have like weekly and we'd, you know, like sessions where we just get together with like a drum kit and everything, PA, and just like fuck around. Yeah. Do y'all just do that too? Is it like the right, or are you guys more purposeful?
Oh yeah. We a lot of times will just, when we get together to jam, I'll usually hit like record on my voice memos, throw it in my pocket. We call them pocket recordings. And then we'll just jam for, you know, half hour, whatever. And then like, we'll kind of come back and I'll like listen through, and like, sometimes there are like little moments where you're just like, oh, like that could be something. That could be a song. That's a cool riff. Let's build on that. So that's definitely another way that, that we've written some of the songs. They've kind of just come out of just like improv jams, that we are like, oh, there was something there that we kind of captured in that moment that we can, you know, write a melody off of or write some lyrics off of.
That's typically how we warm up too. We'll just, he'll hit a riff or something and I'll just kind of lock in with that and see what we can throw on top of it. Or, you know, our drummer Steve will start grooving on something and I'm like, oh shit, like I got a thing here for this. So we've had a few songs that have popped up because of that.
I think we need to do a Lombardi house party album release party. I think that would be sick as fuck.
We were talking about house parties literally yesterday. Yeah.
Did you guys know? And I'm going to age myself because I've been hanging with some of these Gen Z kids, these 20, 21, 22-year-old punk rock kids. You know, they've got dumb phones. They don't have smartphones anymore. They've got the flip phones. They're like, dude, fuck the algorithm. Fuck this. And I'm like, dude, I love that. And there's a whole ring of house show venues in town that they have absolute barn burners at. And we were talking about,
I'm not
like
getting invited to any of this.
I didn't even know they were here.
I don't either. So,
yeah,
so.
I didn't even know it was a thing until pretty recently. And you know, we were talking about maybe getting into that a little bit more because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I think our focus is a little bit more on what it means to be a Nashville regional artist versus when is Lombardi going to take over the world? Because I think if you think too big, you get kind of lost in the noise. We're all screaming in the same room at the same volume. But if we're screaming in a smaller room, then sure. You know, maybe you're screaming a little louder and then you just kind of take a bite here and there and see where you get.
Literally also screaming at the show.
Literally also screaming. So I think like focusing on things like that where you can get your neighbors excited about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or you can get just your crew all together, like Lombardi show, you know, at Peach House, and there's it's 50 cap and you get 65 people in there and it's just like the energy feels great.
And there's a keg and you sell Red Cup for $5.
Exactly, man.
See, that would be so much fun.
I'm telling you.
I'm into that.
So
I'll be the oldest guy at the party for sure, but I'm into it.
we're talking about that. So that's, I think that this music fits that mentality and that vibe.
Yeah.
100%, dude. And also, like, didn't, like, All Time Low do that? Or what was that?
All American Rejects.
All American Rejects, sorry. Yeah,
that was literally down the street from my house.
Same. Yeah, I'm in the East also.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is there a tour bus in my neighborhood?
Yeah.
And then I saw it on the news, and I was like, oh, that's why.
No, I think that's cool, man. And it's like, that's how you grassroots it now, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can still internet that. You just if you're doing it the right way, you can kind of complete both things at the same time.
You know,
and that's like these kids that have flip phones that don't want to be part of the algorithm. That's what they want. They want that real connection.
It's connection. That's really what it's about, and that's what everyone will preach to you is you need to connect with your audience. And I think everyone is thinking very, very broadly when they're thinking about where their audience is. And for me, I'm like, why do I have any business going to New York City trying to sell out a show if I can't sell out a show in Nashville where I'm from?
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Nashville is a hard city to sell out.
It is.
There is so much shit happening all the time. And if you can do that, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, I've heard so many people say, take over your hometown. Mm-hmm. It's just your guy's hometown has 150 rock bands that you could list off on your
absolutely
hand.
Yeah,
and 1,000 country artists.
And you know what?
That's like, good though.
Yeah,
some absolutely of my friends came. They're a punk rock band from Detroit, and they come and hang out. And they play shows. And they're like, I hate playing Nashville. And I'm like, why? They're like, because no one gives a shit. And I'm like, yeah, but isn't that liberating?
Yeah,
you can have a terrible show, and guess what? No one gives a shit.
Yeah,
because you can come back the next time, and you're going to be better the next time, and it's going to be more locked in. And you don't know who's going to be in that room. There could be 5 people at your show, but that one person at the bar could be an A&R guy. You have no idea.
Well, and that's what I try to explain to people, too. And it really opened my eyes. Like, when WME told us that every person that graces a Raised Rowdy stage gets on their list and they start tracking. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it's not just us. That's Whiskey Jam. That's us. It's all the big events that they care about in town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're paying attention to everyone that graces that stage, and they're starting to figure out if it's working or not.
Oh yeah, people are always watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always following along.
We always think it's funny. Yeah. Yeah. We always think it's funny too, like, you know, we say like the Suits are out tonight, like when someone's popping in town and we have them playing a writer's round or a full band showcase, like you'll see a lot of, you know, label people, booking people, potential managers all come out for the same kid all at once.
Yeah.
And like we were the other night we had people out, a bunch of people, and Matt was like, don't go anywhere, this last round is insane. And it was honestly like one of the best writers rounds hours that we've ever had. All the Suits were gone for it. Nobody cares till everybody cares. Exactly. That's how this town works.
All you have to do is watch Entourage to understand how the industry works. Yeah. I've been rewatching that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's something beautiful in that because at the same time, like our buddy Bennett Bost, Americana kid, who's freaking great, by the way, was out playing our event, and this guy who's an artist from Birmingham came in and just happened to stumble into the bar during his set, and he was like, this is sick. He's like, you want to open for me on these three dates? Like, that's this town.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah, that is Nashville.
Absolutely.
You know, like, damn, this kid's great. Let's see if I can give him a little bit of a break, you know? Mm-hmm. And community, like what you guys are building with the Music City Mosh Club. It's like, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have here that a lot of places don't have. We have 150 motherfuckers that can all put arms together and try to push forward.
Right. Or push each other forward.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's the big thing too is, if you want people to give a shit, then you need to give a shit about other people as well. Yeah. You can't just sit at home and do your writes and do your recording all by yourself and expect anyone to want to be involved in that if you're not including your community. So yes. I think that's the big thing too. Like, you know, when we were recording the album earlier this year, it was an open door policy. We had people coming in, coming out. We had bands coming in and sitting in and just hearing what we're doing. We had bands come in. Like one day we had a group vocal day, and you know, we just poured everyone some wine, got them a beer, and hanging out.
Classy.
You know, just having everyone hang and creating a space for everybody.
Yeah.
That felt like it was. You're here at a bar, or you're here just hanging out, and it's very low key and not, you know. I've been in some sessions where it's like fluorescent lighting and someone's just sweating their ass off trying to get everything correct. You know, some of these sessions that are on Music Row where it's just like we've got 2 hours to cut three songs. Let's get it. You know.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's cool to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, it's a production. Like that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
You know, doing some stuff with Kyle, he did some stuff with Jaren. And it was like that, where we came in and we just shit out songs all day, and it was so sick to be a part of. And
just a different style.
It's just a different style, you know. And we were doing the same thing, but we had, you know, Star Wars on the back, and there was a bowl of mushrooms on the table that everyone could just kind of pick off of. Yeah. Like, how you feeling, man? Oh, I'm feeling great. I want to cut some guitars now. Let's go. Let's fucking do it. So, different names for the same thing, I guess.
Well, I think vibe is an important part, right? And it's like, I'm sure every band and every artist and every musician are all different, right? Like what they like and the way they like to do things and the structure or lack of structure that they like to be involved in.
It's completely subjective.
Absolutely. And that's the best part about it, is figure out what works for you, what makes you guys create the best art.
Yeah.
And then push towards it.
I mean, we did that first night at the studio, we did 10 songs in one day. Tracked all of the bones to everything, and we had 10 songs ready to go. That was how tight we came in, ready to fucking do this.
Yeah.
And the next day it was like, all right, let's start doing dubs. You know, we were thinking it was going to take us like 14, 16 days or something to get some of these songs down, to get everything wrapped, and we had everything wrapped in 6 days.
That's cool.
Where were you all cutting everything? Do you have your own spot or?
East Iris Studios. Berry Hill. It's a UMG studio. We record in the Cave, which is this amazing freaking place. The board, the SSL board they have, they mixed Purple Rain on.
Whoa.
Like, it's such the vibe. You walk into that place and your hair kind of comes on end just thinking about all the gear and where it came from. And East Iris, they're another great entity that supports local. They've been on us for a while, and we just signed a record deal with them. They have a record label now that's powered by Virgin and UMG, distribution deal. Just,
congrats, guys.
Thanks. Yeah. You know,
fuck yeah.
It's helped us get into that studio and keep creating in that studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good people over there too.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Would love to have you guys come and give you a tour. It is really beautiful.
Yeah.
It really
can
is I a can beautiful help place. With the gang vocals.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The room that we're in, the Cave, is where Posty does all his stuff, his country stuff. And, Trent, our engineer, is one of the engineers for that project as well. So it's cool to be in the shadow of people like that, you know, sitting in the same place, tripping, you know, just like he probably was.
Yeah. Well, he's a Bud Light and cigarette kind of guy, but yeah.
Yes, Bud Light cigarettes.
We went in there on the last record, and we were doing like some vocal dubs, and they already had the mic set up from, like, the previous day, and they were like, "Oh, who was here cutting vocals yesterday?" They're like, "Oh, Willie Nelson was in here." And I was like, "Oh, sick! That's pretty cool."
Oh shit!
It's like he was the last dude that sang on these mics, you know?
Yeah, I would be like,
"Yeah,
yeah, I know. I don't have a good sense of smell, so like, but I'm sure. I don't know. They might have came in like just Febreze'd it or something. I don't
Probably
know.
Probably after y'all for sure.
Definitely after us. Definitely after us. We're not sharing those cooties.
It's cool to see, though, like, watch you guys, the sound develop, because I feel like Motorbike is even, like, different than the stuff that you guys have out formerly on Spotify previously. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, it feels like nostalgia to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I feel like we all have, each of us individually have, like, different influences in the rock world, but they, for the most part, are all kind of like a old school nostalgic kind of, whether it's like the 60s, 70s era of rock, whether it's like the 80s, 90s era of rock, you know, early 2000s era of rock. It's like all these different areas. And I think that kind of contributes to like the sound of our sound of like kind of not having like one particular, you know, tunnel that we're going down, but we kind of have, we kind of go down different sonic avenues depending on the song. And yeah, I think a lot of the songs on this record, like the Motorbike and a couple other songs that are kind of like that, are definitely, it's kind of like a new creative path that we're kind of taking.
Yeah. I think it was an intentional thing too, because, you know, the last record we put out, it very much felt like, you know, five or six songs that were five or six different rock genres. And we did that on purpose because we wanted to see what felt good and what stuck, what people were connecting with, you know.
And what we were connecting with.
And what we were connecting with, but first and foremost. And I think this record cycle, at least for me, I asked myself, what was I missing? What is not around right now in a new way, a new refurbished way? And I was like, dude, I miss the fucking Beastie Boys. I miss Rage, you know. I miss you know, some of that early Chili Pepper stuff too, where it just felt funky and you were including elements of hip hop without cosplaying hip hop. I mean, Beastie Boys are hip hop.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but they were hardcore kids too, and I'm a Midwest hardcore kid. I grew up in that scene. I grew up, you know, like Turnstile's having their moment right now, and I remember working Turnstile shows in like 2011, 2012, maybe not that, maybe 2013 or so, where it's just, you know, they're a Baltimore hardcore band and they're crushing skulls. Yep. And now they have all this success, and it's this beautiful sound that I think is elevating that genre, you know? So it's, I don't know. I was missing that sort of thing in the landscape. I was like, let's try that. Let's try it without cosplaying it. Because I think that's the other big thing, is I don't want people to say, oh, that's the guys that are trying to be this or trying to be that. It was just, I miss elements of that, so let's throw it in what we're doing already.
Yeah,
you know,
I love that. It's such an interesting thing too, in terms of like figuring out your sound, right? Mm-hmm. Like in country music, there's traditionalism, that's pretty easy to figure, you know. Like,
sure,
there's the stuff that has been happening since that, and then now we're seeing like resurgences of like the 90s country kind of sound and things like that. But I feel like rock is so diverse just as a genre, and there's so many different ways that you can lean with that, and so many ways that you can mash things together. So I feel like that has to be like a challenge, is like not just what you guys enjoy, what you enjoy creating too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, you could love a band, but you're like, that's not really what we do, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
I think that's a super interesting part about it. And thinking on like genre differences between like country, rock, I mean, even like jazz. For me, not knowing enough about jazz, a lot of jazz sounds similar to each other, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that happens with anyone that's kind of outside of
any
genre.
You could be like, oh, this all sounds similar. But it's like, that's why it's a genre of music.
Right, exactly.
Because it's all in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
That's what it is.
I totally agree with that. And I think that's like one of the cool things with your guys' music, is like you talked about, there's a little bit of a sprinkle of like this and that. But also on the same song, I'm like hearing things that remind me, and I don't know exactly what they remind me of until maybe we say it, or I'm like, maybe like a little of this, and you're like, well, yeah, but I didn't even think about that part. You know? Mm-hmm. That's right. Some of the stuff that, like, when I share music with friends, it's like I'm getting a certain itch scratched of, like, I like this thing, or they're picking up different things too, which is, which I think is super cool.
That's what's so beautiful about creating, is because we can try to, guess how things are going to be perceived. Mm-hmm. Anybody can, but we're going to be wrong every time because it's subjective. Art is always subjective. I could go look at a Jackson Pollock painting and see something completely different than the next guy that rolls up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be because of the substances I'm on when I'm watching it or I'm looking at it. But that's what's so beautiful about anything is when I am listening to Southern rock music, Southern rock to me can mean something different than it does to you.
Absolutely.
You know, I consider one of my favorite Southern rock bands is Maylene and the Sons of Disaster.
Dude, I love Maylene.
That to me is like, that is Texas Motorhead right there. That's Southern rock. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there are so many other flavors of what that is. And it's completely subjective to people.
Did not expect to be talking about Maylene today. That's great.
God bless Maylene.
Yeah.
And they're playing shows again. So that's fantastic as well. So God bless Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we hit on the record. Are you guys playing any shows coming up you want to pitch before we get out of here?
Yes. August 22nd is our motorbike single release show at the OG Basement on 8th Avenue. And we're trying to pack that out. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Love OG Basement.
I love that room, too. Yeah, it's in my head, the perfect place to see a rock show in town.
Absolutely.
It is very much a rock kind of vibe there.
Yeah. Good PBRs, sweaty, loud. Kind of awesome.
Feels like you're in a garage or something.
It's the best, bro.
Yeah. Basement, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
or
it's
a basement.
Very much appropriate. Very much appropriate for the vibe we're trying to kick off this record cycle with. So that's why we chose it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gil and everybody at the Basement East.
We've done a couple of shows we've like helped with over there, like Cole Barnhill, Sterling Elza, some of the guys from like the Texas scene that maybe don't have enough in town to like really sell a ton of tickets yet. So we like kind of like helped them with some of those. You know? Like in Nashville, you guys know enough people to fill the Basement, no problem. You know,
yeah, it's going to become kind of competitive on who we can get in, who we can't.
Yes,
at that point. So
absolutely,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
But that's the best ones, the ones that are in there and they're full and they're sweaty and everybody's into it.
Yeah.
That's the best shows, man.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, thanks so much for hopping on the pod with us. We got to do this again when you got the full record coming out, too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. This is a sweet setup in here because this is our first. I know we've done them in the past, but this is our first time actually doing it in studio.
Yeah.
And this is legit for all you people listening.
Thanks, yes, guys. This is a great hang space.
We have done our best to kind of like make it the right vibe. I mean, it's we've changed it a little. It looked a little like cameras on the wall, maybe like a little bit. What's the word I'm looking for? Interrogation room previously. So
yeah, oh, nice.
We moved the cameras down and
these nice tables too. What is this? Oak? Yeah. Pine?
It's
rich
some
mahogany.
Mahogany?
Smells like rich mahogany. No, but thank you guys so much. And
yeah.
Man, we're always trying to level up, you know.
Yeah.
The better our stuff is, the better we can help promote guys like you guys that we believe in.
We're all growing together, so anything we can do to help you guys as well. And you guys certainly don't hesitate to help us, so thank you for the love and thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the Surfsides.
Yeah. And for the beautiful mango green tea vodka Surfside.
I haven't eaten or drinking anything today, so this is breakfast
good.
And lunch absolutely. Right now.
Yeah, you got your fruit in there and your alcohol. What a blessing.
Absolutely.
We'll give you guys a pack for the road each. You got them over there.
Oh, amazing.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for being on the Rage Rowdy podcast. Kurt,
thank you for having
for
us.
Here as well.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you, guys.
We'll see you in the front row. Cheers.
See y'all.
Basement.